Shalom. We're starting a new topic today in Inaya, in Rav Kook. As we mentioned many times, here is Rhoda's commentary on the Agadata, on the more midrashic side of the Gemara. And therefore he skips two pages here, where apparently it's all halacha, to Daf Tedvav Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Kahana, Kishachala Rabbi Ishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi took ill, he was sick, apparently from an illness that he was going to die from. Shalchulo, Rabbi, his students, sent to him, Rabbi, amor lanu shnaim o shloshan dvarim she'amarta lanu mishum avicha. Tell us two or three things that you learned from your father. Shalach lehem, so he answered, apparently through a messenger. Kach amar Abba, this is what my father taught me. Kuf pe shana, 180 years, ad shelo charav habayit, pashta hamalchut al Yisrael. The Roman Empire, 180 years before they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, which is about the year 70 CE, so we're talking about what does he say? 180 minus 70, 110 years BCE. The Romans already had taken over the land of Israel. 80 shana ad shelo charav habayit gazru tuma al eretz ha'amim v'al klei zechuchit. 80 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, Chazal, our rabbis, decreed tuma al eretz ha'amim, that a Kohen is not allowed to go to leave the land of Israel because it has the Tumat Beit HaPras. Tumat Beit HaPras literally is, we won't get all into all the details of the halachot, it's a cemetery which was threshed, which was plowed over, and all of the skeletons were cut into small tiny little pieces, none of which are enough to be mitamei midoraita, to defile from the Torah, but midrabanan. And that's halacha lemaaseh. It's brought down the Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya, that's another reason why Kohanim, nobody should really leave the land of Israel, but Kohanim, especially after the Gzeirah, have a second reason why not to leave the land of Israel. Val klei zechuchit, also klei zechuchit, are mekabel tuma. The Torah does not deal with glass. Glass was apparently not around in the time of the Torah, and then when it became common to use, so the rabbis decreed that glass has the din of a kli. That's why when we do tevilat kelim, it's better to make a bracha midoraita on something metal. If you have something metal, you make a bracha to dip the utensil into the mikvah, and then afterwards do the glass, because that's a lower level of chova, lower level of obligation of tumat kelim. 40 shana ad shelo charav habayit galtala Sanhedrin v'yashvala b'chanayot. 40 years before the exile, before the destruction of the second temple, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court system, was exiled from her place outside of Yerushalayim. The common denominator between all three of these things are, these are historic issues. The Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchita, what's the nafkamina, what's the practical application of the fact that the Sanhedrin was not in their place? Who cares that they weren't in their place? Amrav Yitzchak Barav Dimi Lomar Shelo Danu Dine Knasot. Because the Sanhedrin, when they weren't in their place and they were sitting in the Chanuyot, in the marketplace, they could no longer deal with the laws of Knasot, of special punishment taxes.
Fines,
that's the word. Dine Knasot Zagadaitach. What? They couldn't deal with the laws of fines? Ela'ema Shelo Danu Dine Nefashot. But they didn't deal with capital punishment, with more serious offenses. Now it's interesting, the question Lamai Hilchita, what's the practical application, is only asked on the third topic. The first two topics have a lot less practical applications. They're just historical facts that 100 years before the destruction of the temple, the Romans took over, and 80 years beforehand, there were gozera tuma on the chutz laretz and on glass. If you know that it's asur, it's asur. Who cares when it was made? As a matter of fact, a lot of times in the Gemara asks, Maida havi havi. What was? The Gemara is not a historical book. And that's exactly what Rav Kook is going to talk about today. Let's see it inside. Piska Samechet. Amar Rav Kahana. Kishachala Rabbi Yishmael is going to talk about the first part of the story. When Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi became sick, they sent to him, Rebbe, teach us two or three things that you learned from your father. Yesh hevdel ben limura Torah she ikarit liyeter alimudim sheim gamken nitzrachim. Right? There, even though Rav Kook writes in a lot of places about the importance of secular knowledge, there obviously is a difference between limud Torah, Torah study, which is on the highest level of anything. It's not even among mitzvot. Talmud Torah keneged kulam, it's equated with the rest of the mitzvot put together. So obviously there's no comparison between the learning of Torah and the learning of other topics, which are nitzrachim. Nitzrachim literally means they're necessities. Math is a necessity. Certain sciences are a necessity. The Rambam, who, as we know, is a doctor, and also dealt with a lot of topics like astrology, paganism, philosophy, Aristotelian philosophy. He writes in one of his igrot, one of his letters, that you shouldn't mix up the two and think that all knowledge is the same level of godliness. There are different levels. The Torah is like the master, he says, and the other wisdoms are kitabachot v'rakachot. They're like the cooks and those who make up the spices. It's a much lower level.
Nitzrach, does that refer to nitzrach for physical existence, or nitzrach for the understanding of Torah, or both?
Well, we're going to see that he's going to talk about historical facts and baseball statistics, although he doesn't mention it by name. But we'll see that what exactly he's going to talk about. Ki chol ha-limudim ha-ma'asiyim she-no'adim kol davar she-le-shimush ha-ra'uy lo yesh lem erech lefi yitzarchutam. Every knowledge, practical knowledge, that serves a practical purpose that you're going to need in life is important. V'afrazal ha-mida b'daykanut yetera eina meshubechet. On the other hand, to exaggerate the importance of these secular or necessary studies, to turn them into an ideal, to dedicate your life to that ideal instead of dedicating it to Torah, Rav Kook says you have to be very careful. That even though he's not like there are many rabbis in the Haredi community who would just say, no, you're not allowed to learn secular studies. Rav Kook is not like that at all. In many places, he writes about the importance. On the other hand, even among Kodesh, we make the bracha and Havdalah between Shabbat and Yom Tov, lavdil ben Kodesh leKodesh. There are different levels of Kedusha, and obviously there are different levels between holiness and secular, and therefore, on the one hand, it's important, it's necessary. On the other hand, don't exaggerate in its importance. Omnam. Divrei Torah hem mosifim ma'ala lehugebam lo lefi erech shimusham ki im mitzad metziutam bo mitzad shetorat elokav bilibo. When a person learns Torah, it's not amassing facts. It's not amassing statistics and knowledge. That is also true, and it is important to review that which we learn and to remember it, if need be, to test ourselves, to test our students, to learn Mishnayot by heart or things like that. But Rav Kook is saying, even if, as the Maharal, there's a famous Maharal which he actually mentions later on, which says that, once I mention it, I'll read it inside. The Maharal asked the question at the beginning of Tiferet Yisrael, why the bracha is not Asher Kishan Mitzvotav Etzivanu Umilmod Torah, that God commanded us to learn Torah. That's not the bracha. The bracha is La'asok B'divrei Torah. And he explains, "Ein mevarchim lomod Torah." Why? Misheno mechaven alecha l'amitata in zelimud. You might think that somebody who doesn't understand at the end, or somebody who makes a mistake, or somebody who can sit in a shiur for 2 hours and maybe just pick up bits and parts, and even that he forgets, you might think that he's just wasted those hours. Lekach mevarchim la'asok b'divrei Torah. That's why we make the bracha. The bracha is to deal with Torah. That should be what preoccupies us. Ben shu mechaven alecha, or sheino mechaven alecha. Even if you're not going to understand it in the end, even if you're going to maybe get to the wrong halachic maskana, conclusion. Nevertheless, the mitzvah is to be preoccupied in the Torah every minute. And we know this. To be occupied with the Torah.
That implies, I assume, that to say l'lmod Torah, to learn Torah, is not what we call just to learn, as in we could learn and then forget, and that would not be what he calls l'lmod then. As in the implication there is l'lmod means you've learned it and you remember it and you've got it,
right.
As opposed to...
That's the ideal, obviously. Litasek is that what you're saying is the ideal. Litasek is even if in the end you don't understand it or you don't remember it, right. Or you maybe even if you misunderstand it. I'll give the classic example among the Sfaradim. It's very common to read Zohar. Remember the first time I heard it from a there's a Sephardic Jew. I davened in Yerushalayim. I went into in Merkaz Ha'ir, down in the middle of the city in Yerushalayim. There are a lot of these small old Sephardic shuls that who knows when they were built. So I saw them, I went in, and I saw between Mincha and Maariv, a bunch of older men were learning Zohar. And I looked at them, and they saw that I was very impressed. Zohar, that's something for Kabbalistic, mystical. So one of them says, he heard that I had an American accent. He understood that I was new in the country. He says, by us, the Sfaradim, we don't learn Zohar. Don't be so impressed. We read it. Even if you don't understand it, just reading it, that's la'asok b'divrei Torah. The Ariz HaTzal once asked, why is so much time, the major part of the time in the yeshiva schedule is spent on learning Gemara Be'iyun. So he gave the example that it's lefatzeach et haklipot. That the idea is like when you're eating walnuts, the first thing you have to do is to break the shell. And by learning Gemara, it breaks the shell, right? It softens a person. It teaches you humility, that you don't understand, and that you debate it, and that you have to work hard and sweat and get your blood pressure up and argue and really get into it. And as a matter of fact, one of the recent letters of Rav Kook that I recently uncovered in his archives, he writes exactly that. He deals with the question of why really is it so important to learn Gemara Be'iyun? And he writes that there are a lot of reasons. Brit Kru Time Torah Shabbal Peh, right? That the main chidush of Judaism as opposed to the other religions are they also learn the Bible, but we have the oral law and a lot of other aspects. But among other things, he says the truth is, if you could get so excited about Tanakh or about Musar or any Jewish book, then that would also, to a certain extent, fill that need. The idea is to get into your learning in a way that's what occupies you. And that's what you think about when you're on the bus, or when you think about when that's what you think about when you wake up in the morning, and when you go to sleep at night, and when you're traveling, etc., etc.
Secular Zionists did that got excited like that about Tanakh. There was Chagi Ben Arzi talked about that when he was interviewed a couple weeks ago.
Oh, so that's good.
Rav Kook was the mediator between those two ways of looking at things.
Okay, so what Rav Kook is saying is that aspect of Torah really is considerably different. You're not. It would be absurd for someone who can learn Torah to get so into mathematics or into science or into to the same extent that it's something that really fills him. Vine pirtei advarim ha'historiim.
Unless he's not Jewish, I guess.
Right, someone who's not Jewish, that's a different, totally different story. When we talk about the importance of history, and here Rav Kook is dealing, he immediately notices that the three examples of Shmuot that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi passes on from his father when he was sick are historical facts. And that's our topic today, the importance of learning history, when and why it's important, and to what, where is it on our list of priorities. V'nei pirtei advarim ha'historiim v'diyukam, the details, historical details, and the precision of knowing exact historic details, for those who like trivia, hem nitzrachim, these are necessary things, shiyu yiduim b'toch klal ha'uma, that should be known in the general nation. The nation has to know these things. A nation should know where it comes from. Like the famous story, I might even mention it once. I remember I used to, when I was on Shlichut lecturing in Russia, in Minsk, I used to use this mashal almost every place because I saw that it was something that really registered for Soviet Jews who for 70 years were totally removed. They didn't know an aleph from a bet. They didn't know a brit milah. They didn't know about mezuzah. They didn't know anything. 0% observance. And I used to tell the story there about a guy who was who had to get from Minsk to Pinsk. And in America, whenever you say Minsk to Pinsk, people laugh. But there, you know, these are normal cities, you know, Minsk and Pinsk. He was walking the old days, and he gets to a major junction, and he has a problem because the sign of the junction was taken down. And it's laying there, and he sees that one of the directions goes to Pinsk, but he doesn't know which way because the sign is lying on the road. So he tries to figure out what to do. And then he has a good idea. There are three signs, one going this direction, that direction, and that direction. And then he thinks the idea, he says, well, I know I'm coming from Minsk. So if I turn the arrow which goes to Minsk, then I'll see which arrow goes to Pinsk. And the idea is obvious, that only when a person knows where he's coming from can he know where he's going to. And that's the importance of knowing your heritage and where you're coming. And Rav Kook is saying, historical, you know, in the, I remember in Alex Haley in his famous book, Roots, he writes, how did he find about the story of Kinta Kinte? Right. He found things in the archives of his great-great-grandfather in the archives of the slaves in the South, and he found out where the boat brought his great-great-grandfather from Africa, and he found the village. But how could he find out? You know, there are people who didn't know how to read and write. He was able to hire a translator, but there was an old man in every village, and in the Ethiopians they have this also, who know the genealogy by heart. And they just recite it word by word by heart, and Rav Kook says there's a certain importance. Now, that's in every nation. How much more so in Am Yisrael, where our history is very, very important. כי התולדה היא אחת מענייני הקניין שלה ועושה רושם טוב ומרבה אהבת האומה בכלל בלב יודעה. Every nation is proud of its history and feels good about its past and about its the Nobel Prizes that they've won and the wars that they've won and their achievements. And Rav Kook says that's something very important. Maybe I'll mention parenthetically, one of Rav Kook's top students from Boisk was Rabbi Binyamin Menashe Levin, who, you see that whole set, the black set, Otsara Gaonim, that was his life's work. His doctorate was on Igeret Rav Shri Ragon. He put out a scientific a study from manuscripts found in the Geniza of the letter of Rav Shri Ragon. What is that letter? A student of Rav Shri Ragon, one of the great rabbis who lived about 1,100 years ago, asked him, what is the order of the generations? In other words, who lived when? In other words, I know there's Rebbe and Rabbi Gamliel and Rebbe Akiva and David HaMelech, but I don't understand exactly who lives where. And you have to remember, there's no Sefer Divrei Hayamim at the end of the Tanakh, and that makes order out of the time of the Tanakh, but it ends, right? And what do you do afterwards, after the time of Ezra and Nehemiah? And Rav Shira Gaon, who had unbelievable memory, writes Jewish history. And Rav Kook saw this as a very, very important work. As a matter of fact, when Rav Binyamin Menashe Levin, I found the original, the first printing, he dedicates that first edition to his Rebbe, to Rav Kook, who is the inspiration behind it. Rav Kook very much believed in the importance of learning history, and even the details. We're talking about, in our topic, the number of years, and who lived when, and how many years before the destruction of the temple was the Sanhedrin exile, and the... When I was looking for it before, I just found the outlines. I have to look sometime in my... when I was the valedictorian of Touro College in the master's program. So my speech was about Rav Kook and learning history. I was in Jewish history, the MA. And Rav Kook really wrote a lot about the topic. And that's not even our topic today. Whereas he wrote about it from a philosophical point of view of Zichor Yemot Olam, and he touches on it a little later. Maybe we'll go on and we'll see when he touches on it. V'nei pirtei advarim ha'historiim v'diyukam em nitzrachim shiyu yiduim b'toch klal ha'umah. Like we said, every nation should know the details of their history. Ki ha'tolada hi achat min yanei ha'kinyan shela v'oseh roshem tov u'marbe ha'avat ha'umah. It's good for Zionism, for patriotism. B'chlal b'lev yodea, for those who know it. Aval ein lidamot erech yediyat pirtei zmanei ha'ma'uraot l'erech yediyat pirtei ha'torah. Nevertheless, you can't compare the knowledge of the American history or some tribe living in Africa with the details of the Torah. And you know what? You can't even compare the importance of the details of Jewish history with the details of the Torah. Yediyat pirtei Torah, knowing the details of the Torah and the 39 details of the milachot, which you're not allowed on, and even more than that, the fact that Shevet Yehuda had 74,250 soldiers when they left Egypt. Apparently, that's important for us to know. That Binyamin only had whatever was 32,000, and this Shevet had 33,000, and this Shevet had 33,550. If it's written in the Torah, apparently that is significant. Okay? Yediyat pirtei Torah hem yuchadim biyichud lefi hakedusha yisraelit shebehem anachnu muvdalim mikol am v'lashon. We have a higher, a different, a deeper, historic, and eternal role than other nations. The role of the nation of Israel is eternal, is godly. We brought monotheism to the world, we brought morality to the world, we brought prophecy to the world, and therefore, we who were given the Torah, the Bible, the written and the oral law directly from God, that's really what should occupy us. That's on a clearly higher level, because that's our essence. The essence of a Jewish person is learning Torah. Shebahem anachnu muvdalim. This is what makes us different from other nations. Ki am kadosh ata la'Hashem Elokecha. Because you are a holy nation for God. Aval b'idiyat ha'historia. But regarding knowledge of history, yesh l'chol u'machelek l'fi erkah. Every nation has their history. We also have our history. But it's not on the same level as learning Torah, which is an eternal, obligatory, spiritual truma, a contribution to the world. Now here it's Rav Kook writes in when he writes about Zionism or patriotism in general, In Sefer Orot, on page Kuf Samech Dalid, he writes as follows. He writes, first of all, that there are certain things, there are many things which are universal, which are mishutaf, which are, how do you say, common between all nations of the world, including Jews, right? Which again includes the sciences, world history, math, etc. Aval, but, lo tivneh ha'uma ki'im kesha'ikar hiye ma sheyishachlel et shiur komata shumilo ha'yediyot b'ma shenogea lechelka b'yichud. But what is the reason of existence for each nation is what makes them special. And that's why, properly, a Frenchman who's proud of the French language, that's something very logical. French is a beautiful language. It has a nice flow to it. I don't understand it. But, or somebody, if an Italian is proud of Italian food, right, if there is such a thing. And the same thing with the Jewish people. If a person wants to be a Zionist, he should be proud of that which is special of the Jewish people, which is Jewish history, in other words, Tanakh. It's the Jewish language, in other words, the Holy Language. It is the Jewish land, in other words, the Holy Land. There's everything about the Jewish people which is unique, is godly, is holy. And that is really what is supposed to preoccupy the Jewish nation. And the same thing with our history. All nations, according to their contribution. Last week, Gershon wanted to say that the English have a significant contribution to mankind. That's what Rav Kook is saying. Every nation, according to their erech, according to what they've contributed to mankind. I've no doubt the United States of America has given more to mankind than any country, at least that I've ever learned about, although I learned American history.
Nobody knows why World War One happened, and I say the whole reason for all that nonsense of World War One was so that the British could take Eretz Yisrael away from the Turks in order to prepare it for to become the Dinat Yisrael.
Rav Kook says the same thing. Ve'omnam hayediyah bihistoria shelanu hi na'ala miyediyah yeterahmin b'shelahem. The knowledge of Jewish history is obviously, being that we are the eternal people, the chosen people, the biblical, the prophetic people, our history is that much more important for us to learn, even more than other nations. Or as somebody said, you know, the other nations, they don't have to learn Torah, so they can spend a lot of time on their history. Rav Kook is saying, well, we do have to learn Torah, but even our history is more important than their history. Lumat aliyat erka.
They probably should learn our history too.
Probably. Lumat aliyat erka shel ha'teuda klalit shelanu mikol ha'am asher al pnei ha'adama. The Jews are a universal people. We are an international people. We are, like we said, those who win so many Nobel Prizes, have brought morality and monotheism. And that's why, in addition, if you remember the Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yudah Levi, he stresses that what is the proof that there is a God? As opposed to the Christians and the Muslims who say, I believe in God who created the world. The Jew says, I believe in God who took me out of Egypt. And the king of the Khazars asks him, why don't you start at the beginning? Explains the Jew, well, Jewish history is where God revealed himself to all of us. We don't have millions of witnesses of God creating the world. We don't have millions of witnesses about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, even though there were miracles there. Nevertheless, where God revealed himself to an entire nation, that's really where religions begin. And if you look at Christianity and Islam, they also prove the existence of God from the fact that God revealed himself to the Jewish prophets. So therefore, when Jewish history talks about the Exodus from Egypt, the giving of the Torah on Sinai, the war of Joshua, the wars of Sefer Shoftim and Melachim, right? The fact that the Jewish people are eternal, anti-Semitism, if we sin, we're exiled from the land, and God says we'll be brought back to the land, and there won't be rain unless we do tshuva, and we do tshuva, and then we're kicked out, and we do it again. All of these are godly events. And that's why Rav Kook, in this sentence, and throughout his writings, writes historia, not with a tet, but with a taf, from the word hysteria. That God hides himself and is seen in history. Even in, I remember I mentioned Touro College before, one of the courses that I did there with Professor Gruner, you should have her refuah shlema. We had a mandatory reading from Yosef Yerushalmi's book Zachor. He's a professor of history at Columbia, I believe. He's originally Israeli, unfortunately a Yored, he left Israel, but he's a world famous professor. And the idea of that book Zachor, in a nutshell, is that Jews have this concept of remembering. Twice a day, remembering that God took us out from Egypt. Every Shabbat, remembering that God created the world, remembering that He took us out from Egypt. Now, remembering Hanukkah and Purim, and remembering all of Jewish history, he says, Judaism's main contribution, in his opinion, is that we brought the gods from the heavens. In mythology, the gods are in heavens. You don't see them. Down to earth. Our God, the Jewish people, see God in the Six-Day War, in the War of Independence, in Entebbe, in the exile, in everything that's been going on since the Jewish people have come into being. And that's why Rav Kook that's how he explains the Pasuk Zechor Yemot Olam Binu Shnot Dor Vador, a Pasuk in Parshat Ha'azinu, which says, study history, examine history, especially Jewish history. Because if you want to see how God runs the world, you have to see the direction of the arrow so that you can continue with the arrow. Similarly, right, just like today, if you don't notice that God is in gathering the exiles, how do you know to make Aliyah? If you don't realize that God is reviving the Jewish nation, reviving the Tanakh, and reviving and is alive and well, as I once brought the Christian theologian Paul Van Buren, he says that the fact that there is this Jewish state in the Holy Land, speaking the holy language with Jerusalem as its capital, awakens the question, even in the mind of every atheist, that maybe God is not as dead as we thought.
He started out as a death of God theologian and then became a pro-Israel theologian,
yeah.
A pro-Jewish theologian.
He's a Christian theologian, that I know.
He died.
Baruch Dan.
He was an associate of David Hartman
okay.
At the end of his life.
Anyway, the idea of history is something which is very important. Yesod Hadavar.
The Tshuva movement was sort of kicked off after the Six-Day War.
Yeah, right. That's a good example. And Hillel points out that the Baal Tshuva movement really took off after the Six-Day War. I found in Orot HaTorah, in Perek Chet, Piska Vav, also where Rav Kook talks about the importance of knowing the details of history. בלימוד של הפרטים ההיסטוריים וכן ידיעות השפות גם העתיקות וכדומה, knowing especially Semitic languages and the details of history, שכל לימוד שכללו מועיל גם כל פרטיו הם השלמה ותוספת להדר השכל. Any topic which is worth learning, the details of that topic are also worth learning, and they complete the harmonic picture of that topic. Anyway, continues Rav Kook. Yesod ha-davar umnam, sheyediyat ha-mo'uraot ha-lu'umiyim umnam chavivim hem. It's true that the historical events of a nation are beloved to the nation. Aval tzrichim lizaher shelo yamdu b'shura achat im kedushat divrei Torah. But don't make the mistake to think that they're on the same equal level. Here Rav Kook is clearly referring to the phenomena of what was called Chochmat Yisrael, Wissenschaft in German, where so many smart, intelligent Jews who learned a lot of Gemara, but instead of learning the Halacha Lamaaseh, wrote about what kind of food they ate in the time of the Talmud, or what kind of tie or Rashi did or didn't wear. And Rav Kook is... I published 5 articles on the topic that he Davka was among the Gedolei Ador, without a doubt, the biggest Gadol in favor of using the tools of academic study to help us learning from old manuscripts, comparing the Bavli and Yerushalmi and the Midrashei Halacha, even changing Girsaot when need be. Rav Kook was very, very into, as was his teacher, the Netziv on a lower level. The Netziv was the first Gadol to use the Geniza, the Cairo Geniza, to help decipher what was the real Girsaot in the Sifrei and in the Sifra. And Rav Kook continued in his Rebbe's footsteps, but even much more so. In the end, the Maskanan, since I published the articles, I've just found more and more proof to it, that the reason Rav Kook did not implement this historical and scientific way of study in Merkaz Harav was because he had to choose his battles. And there were so many chidushim in this universal yeshiva which he founded. The fact that they learned in Hebrew was the first. They were the first yeshiva to learn in Hebrew. They learned, and they had shiurim in Tanakh. They had shiurim in Musar, which was just beginning. They had shiurim in Jewish philosophy. The Nazir did give some shiurim in the history of Chochmat Yisrael, of academic Jewish studies, but apparently there were just too many battles. And maybe Rav Harlap and some of the other more Yerushalmi, more traditional elements in Merkaz Harav tried to play it down a little. And in the end, Bikitsur, Rav Kook decided to move that program to Harry Fishel. The Harry Fishel Institute was meant to use the scientific approach in Jewish history and...
But they got flack there too.
Nachon. And there also it didn't get off the ground. Although it's interesting, Rav Kook, Harry Fishel, in his biography, I found it's not in his printed biography. He printed a biography at the age of 70. But his granddaughter, the wife of Rav Shar Yashuv Cohen, has a manuscript in a hand-typed... I think there's only one copy which exists. And there, her grandfather, Harry Fishel, writes that Rav Kook told me, he was so ecstatic when I agreed to fund the Harry Fishel Institute, he said this was his lifelong dream, to have a yeshiva which would combine academic and scientific and historic and all of that together with Tanakh, and that was his dream. So Rav Kook was very much in favor. Nevertheless,
Rav is a different thing. It's only scientific and technical.
Why in the end wasn't it done in Merkaz Harav? Rav Kook is saying here, first, no Shas and Poskim and Yerushalmi and Mishnayot, and get the first level very, very clear, because there's no comparison. Yes, it's important to know what your Rabbi Akiva learned, and yes, it's important to know that he was part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion, as it was his student, Rabbi Binyamin Menashe Levin, who we mentioned before, Rabbi Dr. Binyamin Menashe Levin, who is the one who made that earth-shaking connection between Rabbi Akiva, his 24,000 students, who were killed in the Bar Kokhba rebellion. They didn't die of a plague, as we were taught in kindergarten, right? And it's very, very clearly proven historically. Rav Kook is in favor of this, but he says you can't compare that with learning Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch. It's on a different league. It's on a different planet, okay? Zulati. Chilkei ha-mo'raot shebachra behem ha-Torah. Here, Rav Kook, just when you think that you understood Rav Kook's main point or two, he hits you with another point. He says, aside from those small details which the Tanakh takes the time to point out, that obviously is super important. The names of the grandchildren of Yishmael and Esav, if they're written in the Tanakh, apparently those are super important. And the Zohar talks about it. The names and the numbers of why, like we said, does it have to say that Shevet Yudad 74,000 and this and this amount of... That is the census. That is apparently very important. The fact that, and we learned this in Orot HaMilchama, if you remember, those who were here 2 years ago, Rav Kook points out that almost just about the only thing that we know about all of the Shoftim and Nevi'im and heroes of the Tanakh is that they were all military heroes. So apparently that's also important to know, that that's part of the ideal Jew, sitting here learning Torah with your army uniform. Okay. The number of the years, right? That Adam lived 930 years, and afterwards this, and Metushelach, and this one lived in this. That's how we know how old the world is. That, those details apparently are very important. And even the colors in Ahasuerus's palace, Chur Karpasu Trelet, if it's in the Tanakh, you have to break your head and try and figure out why it is significant, why it is important. The details of the Beit HaMikdash, right? All of these details.
I mean, Ahasuerus releases the Beit HaMikdash.
Right. Zulatich HaMikdash, there's Sha'afilu Sichatan Shel Avdei Avot, right? He's referring here to Eved Avraham, when Eliezer, according to the Midrash, was sent by Avraham to find a wife for Yitzchak, and he goes through the whole story once, twice, in great detail. All of those details are eternally important. Rav Kook doesn't mention here Gematriot, Gzerot Shavot, the numerical values, the skipping of the numbers, the codes that a lot of people deal with today. Everyone knows what I'm talking about. There are so many different aspects of the Torah, but all of them are important. And if the details are in the important are in the Torah, they're not just baseball statistics, right? Kevan, and it's not just how many years Ben Gurion was prime minister. You can't put those details on the same level.
Are you including the codes in something like that? Where the codes is a bit more controversial, surely.
I don't want to get into that, but
it's not obviously in the detail of the Torah. It's a detail that people are trying to say it's in the Torah.
No, it is. It is found in Sifrei Kabbalah. It's found in Sifrei Kabbalah. And if we would take out Chas V'Shalom, one word, no. Statistically. No, but statistically, there's no comparison. I heard a professor Kashtan from Harvard who talk about it. He says statistically, there's no comparison. But that's not the main point. It's a side point. Kevan shebachra bahem ashkacha. No comparison between the occasional codes that you might find in Shakespeare as opposed to the constant codes that you find in the Torah. שאפילו שיחתן של זה, כיוון שבחרם בהם ההשגחה האלוקית, לשום אותם בתורה, הרי הם דברי תורה. אבל מצד עצם המושג של התולדה, צריך שיהיה ההבדל שבין קודש לכל רשום תמיד. The difference between the holy and the profane has to be clearly differentiated. There's no comparison between knowing that Ted Williams batted 342 in his lifetime batting average and 406 in his highlight year, and Babe Ruth had 714 home runs, and there is no, that's what I wasted my childhood learning, and that's what Rav Kook is saying. You know, now obviously that's not as important as George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, right? And those are obviously not as important as learning the details in the Torah. כדי שלא יבואו טועים לטעות שכל ענייני תורה קדושה הם גם כן נערכים רק לפי מידת לאומי ופשוטה. Don't make the mistake in learning the Tanakh like a history book, like any other nation has a history. We also have a history. It's not the same thing. The Torah is here. History is here. History of other nations is even lower.
על כן, אם כי דברי תורה צריך להראות שעצם העסק בהם יקר מאוד.
The very dealing with Torah, like we said before, even going through the census, how many numbers each tribe had in the book of Bamidbar, how many they had at the end of Bamidbar, how many each one of the tribes had in... All of these details is Torah, and they're beloved. Lo rak hayedia, not just to know it. Like we said, even if you just rattle it off, how much more so if you understand it? How much more so if you understand the deeper meaning? Al kein anu mevarchim la'asuk bedivrei Torah. As we said before, the Maharal points that out. Lo chein pirtei ha-tolada. She'omnam, this is not the case regarding the details of history. It's not as important.
שאומנם החיבה הלאומית היא מכשרתן להשתדל שלא יעבדו מתוך הכלל. חס ושלום, you should not let the details of your national history get lost. Even those which are not in the Tanakh. That David Ben-Gurion was the prime minister from Tashach until... That is important. That is your nation's history. אבל לא להעלותם למידה זו של חיבה יתרה של דברי תורה. But don't go crazy over it with such an ecstatic love like you have and should have for Torah. Okay, therefore, Rav Kook is summing up. Kol yamim shehaya Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi. This Tana, as long as he was alive, shehaya noseh et hayedeiot ahistoriot hallelu b'briyuto, he knew all of these historical facts when he was healthy. But why did they just turn to him when all of a sudden he's sick? Lo haya rodef lelamed et hayedeiot hallelu. He himself didn't go around giving lectures in Jewish history while he was alive. Shein reshimot ahistoriot, he knew them. He was the national historian. שאומנם הן צריכות רק להיות נמצאות באוצר הכלל. The nation has to know them. You have to make sure that they don't get forgotten. Somebody has to know them. But that doesn't mean that each and every 18-year-old has to know all the details of Jewish history. It's important at least that somebody knows them. וכיוון שיש אדם אחד גדול ונאמן. When you have a great rabbi, a faithful, a dependable rabbi, Hayodan, he knows the details, this Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, Harei ha-nimtzaot. Somebody knows them. You don't have to let your curiosity take over you and go and question and grill the historian so that you should know them also. Ve'en lema'ed zman shel yediyat eze davar min ha-Torah bishvilan. Don't waste time that you could better spend on learning Torah to learn the trivials of Jewish history.
Well, how will anybody learn it if
Aval, kishechala cholyo asher meid bo kefi anireh. But when this rabbi, the historical rabbi, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi took ill, she'az alul ha-davar she'ishtakhu ha-reshimot halalu, and apparently this was the sickness which he eventually would die from, or they were scared he was going to die from, they didn't want him to take the secrets, not secrets, the historical trivia with him to the grave. And that's when they asked him, please tell us the history which you know.
But when he learned it, he wasn't sick yet, and he took the time to learn it, as opposed
That's for Yechidei Skula. That's for individuals to know it. You know, you could say that you're the individual. That's okay. You know, every person should. Today, by the way, the whole view of history is much different, because today things are written down and we have history books, in the time of the Chazal, you didn't have Seder Hadorot, and you didn't even have Gretz or Grezel or any of these histories. Now that things are written down, the place of Jewish history, what we can learn from it, like we said before, like Rav Kook said before, to learn the Musar, to learn how God runs history, to learn that there is a God, to learn that the Jewish people are eternal, to learn that the prophecies come true, all these things that we mentioned before in the Jewish tradition, that's important. To learn Jewish history and the details of Jewish history, there is a minimal time and place for it, for sure in the national knowledge, but not every person should spend the time on learning Torah.
Doesn't seem ironic though, but it seems ironic to me that these three facts that he gave over, which were, according to Rav Kook here, so unimportant, or not so unimportant, but they were important that one person should know them, but not the rest of the Jewish people, then became enshrined in the Gemara, so that everyone who learns the Masechta Shabbat then knows these three facts.
On the other hand, we'll see next week why these three facts are significant, why they are in the Gemara, and why there are so many things in Jewish history which are not in the Gemara. Right? There are obviously different levels of importance in Jewish history.
And if they were that important, then more than this one person should have...
Okay, but here Rav Kook is dealing with the issue, why does it tell us the story about Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, who knew the facts, and we became sick? They asked him, please pass on that which you heard from your father.
In other words, here Rav Kook is dealing with that aspect of the Gemara, not the rest of the aspect. And that aspect of why this story is, what's the symbolism or the message that we get from the story is exactly that. That it's not the type of thing that should occupy your time all the time. Nevertheless, there is a time and a place for it.
What about the current trend in certain parts of the firm Jewish world today to censor Jewish history?
Yeah, that's a big topic in and of itself.
Yes.
To censor Jewish history, obviously, is just lies. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky came out very strong. Many rabbinim came out strongly against it. Why did they suddenly ask Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi? Now is the time shetomar lanu. If you don't tell us now, then when? Shnayim v'shlosha dvarim ha-historiim she'amarta lanu mishum avicha kedei she'lo yifaktu mi'otzar ha-klal, that they shouldn't be forgotten, they shouldn't be missing from the national knowledge. In summary, national knowledge is important. History in general is important. How much more so Jewish history? Nevertheless, keep it in the right proportion. Chochmat Yisrael and learning scientific methods and learning the history of Rabbi Akiva and each of the Tanaim and how maybe it influenced certain things that they said obviously is important to a certain extent. Nevertheless, that's not the bread and butter of the Torah.
Rav Kook always speaks about the improvement from one generation to another generation. That's also going deeper into the Torah and discovering more things that the Torah helps you through each generation until the next generation comes and finds something else deep within the Torah based on what the previous generation had a hardship
with. Yeah. But that's what he's saying. He's saying concentrate on the depth of the Torah, on the beauty of the Torah, on the halachot, on the philosophy, on the Musar, on the Tanakh, and on the details which are written inside the Tanakh. That's also important. Apparently very important. A lot more important than most people realize. That there are certain parts which people just skip over. Even we had teachers in elementary school who just skipped entire chapters of the Tanakh. Rav Kook is saying, there can't be. Right? Statistics, if they're in the Tanakh, it must be important.